From our studios in New York City and Miami, Florida, you are listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the Striking Corner podcast. I am your host, Eric Rivera. And just to let you guys know, Vinny is not joining me in this section of the podcast here on the intro. He is actually out in California with our good friend Patrick Rivera, who you guys will hear from in just a moment. So really, guys, really all I wanted to do here at the intro before we get into my podcast with Vin is our social media. So remember, guys, that you can check out Striking Corner at strikingcorner.com. That is our main website. As we had mentioned previously, our website is now, we completely redid it. Vinny helped me with the design. Well, actually, he did most of it. He did pretty much everything. I just fixed some images and things like that. But anyway, we're focusing 100% on the podcast now. So you can find pretty much every episode or every episode that we've had on the podcast, of the podcast, they're easy to find, easy to get, there at strikingcorner.com. Our social media, guys, remember, is at Striking Corner on Instagram, at Striking Corner on Twitter. We're very active on the Instagram. On Twitter, you'll just pretty much see the times that the podcast is going out, and we'll I'll try to respond myself here and there on Twitter. Also, guys, check out our Facebook page, which is facebook.com/strikingcorner, or at Striking Corner, since they're doing that now on Facebook. And also, my personal Instagram is under Eric Rivera underscore TSC on Instagram. And Vinny's is Vinny Scotto on Instagram. So that's at Vinny Scotto. So that's pretty much it, guys. We'll be right back with Vinny and Patrick all the way from California.
The Striking Corner.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to another episode of The Striking Corner. And actually, you guys heard the intro. It said live, well, not live, but from our studios in New York City. New York City is actually out of the equation today because Vinny is joining us all the way from Stockton, California on the West Coast. And he's joined by my cousin. I would like to call him a cousin. My good friend and our good friend, Patrick Rivera. He's been on the show multiple times already, but he's an absolute badass and we love him. So what's up, man? What's up, guys?
What's happening, Eric? Always great to see you. And this time I can see your face and you're smiling. It's great.
Awesome, man. Awesome. It's awesome to have you on the show once again. And the reason Vinny is out there at Stockton, California at Valor Muay Thai is because Patrick had another one of his very, very, I would say, very popular, very informative Muay Thai Youth Academy sessions, right? Is that what you guys were doing?
Yep. Just basically, Patrick is giving all his secrets of how he runs his gym and his mainly his children's program, which everything does, it can be applied to adults as well, but the whole objective is to start from the ground up and build with the children.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit. I mean, I know, Patrick, this is what, you're the second time you've been doing it. Is this their second year in a row?
Yes, sir. So the first one we did was March of 2018, the impetus of which was, you know, we were doing the YDLs, and the YDLs have been widely successful. It's growing by leaps and bounds. You know, we've got probably close to 500 registered youth athletes from across the country, and we haven't even spread yet as far as we want to. We've got registered athletes in Chicago and Iowa and Dallas and Honolulu and Los Angeles and San Francisco and Northern California. And again, I'm getting hit up every day. And for people wanting to throw these events. But what I realize is that ultimately there's only going to be a finite amount of athletes, even with the YDL, because not many people have youth programs at Muay Thai gyms. And if they do, they're very, very small. And if you look at other martial arts and other sports for that matter, Even the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu schools. Now, the Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu schools before were predominantly adults. Now, at least half are kids these days. And Muay Thai, it's still very, very much so in its infancy. I truly believe that Muay Thai has the potential to be the fastest rising martial arts in the United States. And there are a ton of people that are very qualified, you know, former fighters or just, you know, trainers or coaches. There's some very, very good athletes out here, but that they don't simply know how to run a business. And the sport will never grow. In my not so humble opinion, I guess, it will never grow unless you know how to run a business and these businesses are thriving, that they can, you know, people can sustain their families and live well. While doing things that they love, as opposed to working two or three jobs and being a gym owner as well and trying to train fighters and what have you. You can run a very successful business and make this your, you know, dream career and also put out world-class athletes. But a lot of it has to start with a children's program. And many people just don't know how to do that. And so what we decided to do last year was to have MYA1, and it was wildly successful. We had close to 30 instructors from all over the United States come out, and they went back out to their gyms and implemented all the programs that they learned at MYA1 and became very successful. Many of them have doubled their children's program. I wasn't going to do one this year, but actually Kieran Fitzgibbon convinced me to do it again. Since I had probably about four or five instructors leave within the 2 month period of time in November and December, I have a bunch of new people that I needed to train myself. And I decided if I'm going to train them, I might as well bring out other people and let them see let them get the benefit of the same training that I'm providing for my staff as well. So we've had about, I think, 22 or 23 instructors from all over the United States, from New York, Staten Island, New York City, Glen Cove, two from Stuart, Florida. We've had two from Bermuda, crew Nikki and crew Chuck. We've had, you know, from Los Angeles, crew Rich from Honolulu, crew Brian Dobler from Fontana, just a crew Terrell from Seattle. It was a phenomenal event, and Jerry Lurita from Phoenix. So if I missed anybody, my apologies. It was really a very, very much so packed event, and hopefully everyone came away with a lot of value.
Yeah. No, I mean, definitely. I know that a lot of people, the MYA, the USMF, everything, everything is catching, you know, it's catching on, and a lot of people are very interested in these programs such as yours. So Vinny, tell me, what did you take away from it? Are you a better businessman, or are you still shitty?
So my biggest takeaways, actually Patrick said this throughout the weekend, more is not better, better is better. That's one of my biggest takeaways. Mm-hmm. And for me, one of the main reasons I've been coming is, my gym over the years, I'm open. I hit the 5-year mark, which if anybody knows that's very hard to do with the business, especially me. When I opened, I opened in Staten Island because there was no Muay Thai. Now, I'm not originally from Staten Island, so I didn't know a single person. I never taught a class on Staten Island. I never trained on Staten Island. Mm-hmm. So I started with nothing. I literally had the doors open for 3 months before anybody even walked in.
I thought you were from Staten Island. Weren't you born and raised there?
No, I'm from Brooklyn, you moron.
I was just doing it to bother him because I know it bothers him when I say
it. I know you do, asshole. So I sat there for 3 months before anybody even walked in the door because, first of all, I was in a not-so-great neighborhood. I opened in a very small warehouse type thing on a residential block. So I had a lot of things going against me. Mm-hmm. And then on top of it, people are like, oh, who the fuck is this guy? We never heard of him. And what's Muay Thai? Because there was never a community. Nobody knew what it was. So
yeah.
So that's what I started with. And for me, the thing that I'm focusing on by coming here is kids. Because, you know, I helped, you know, our coach with fighters in Florida. One of our friends opened up a gym. We helped teach classes. So I've dealt with adults, but I never dealt with kids in Muay Thai. Mm-hmm. Or any other martial art for that matter. So that was my main thing, is how to properly work with kids. Yeah. That was my goal last year, why I came out here. This year it was for a little bit of a different reason because I had a good understanding of how to work with kids. This year my reasoning for coming out was more on the business aspect in terms of staff and marketing. Mm-hmm. Because although, what are you, the fucking president of marketing for someone? You're a piece of shit when it comes to helping people. Yeah. So that's my story with you. But anyway, marketing is not my strong suit, and neither is staff development, because any other business I've owned and ran was pretty much a one-man show or just a, you know, an operation that didn't require much staff. So I didn't have to really develop myself in that area. So my goal this year coming out was staff development and marketing. And Patrick is I call him an evil genius, but he's a genius in both of those areas along with children. So it's very helpful. If Muay Thai is what you want to be your life in terms of your career, what you do every day, you definitely need to get involved in programs like this. And there's no shame in saying, hey, I need help in this area. Because at the end of the day, we all have a common goal. We want to grow the sport. And there's certain things that need to be done in order for that to happen. And if you're going to sit on your high horse and think you know it all, then you're going to fail. And you're just going to help bring the sport down instead of up. Mm-hmm. So that's my takeaway on it.
Okay, cool. I mean, I guess I'm seeing this, you know, the growth of Muay Thai. You know, Patrick, this is the one thing. And we've been discussing this. Vinny and I have discussed it. With the growth of Muay Thai, I think there's a fear, you know, and sometimes we get hit with it, I think, on our Instagram, or some people might talk about it. It's like, you know, we're Muay Thai purists, you know, in a lot of ways. At least I feel like that, but I feel like I've evolved. You know, there used to be that, you know, I came back from Thailand and I thought I knew better than everybody, you know, all that kind of stuff. And then...
that's because you're an asshole.
But yeah, so we have all those things. I mean, I'm not denying it, but, you know, we all have those things. And then we... And then when these things happen, when Muay Thai starts growing, right, like we're seeing now, when MMA started growing, and then, you know, Muay Thai was a big part of the MMA mentality or the MMA striking, you know, we started seeing a lot of gyms start slapping Muay Thai on their doors as if they taught Muay Thai, but they really didn't teach Muay Thai. And that kind of pissed off a lot of people in the community. And then aside from that, you also had people that, I guess nowadays, you know, there's people that use belts, there's people that use all that stuff, and I know you've discussed that, though, you know, you've discussed about using ranking systems and things like that, and you're kind of, you've discussed a lot of times that, you know, just because you're, and I think Lonnie has even come on here as well, who's a friend of ours as well, Lonnie has discussed, you know, if it's almost like, in a lot of ways, for some people, it's like if you're making money off of Muay Thai or you're doing really well in your gym, it's almost like you've become a McDojo. You've sold out. You've done all this stuff. And I remember Lonnie was one time said, you know, why is it wrong for me to make a living off something that I feel that I truly love and I'm passionate about? And why is it that if when I start making a living and they see me buying a car and stuff for my wife or buying a house, it's like all of a sudden I've become a McDojo and I'm not really about it, you know? So what do you say to all that? I know, Patrick, you're real passionate about all this stuff. You know, you're really passionate about growing the programs and everything. But, you know, it's almost like Muay Thai has this sort of culture with it where it's like people still want it to be grassroots and underground, but at the same time, they want it to grow. And, you know, there's sort of like a push-pull effect in that case where, you know, they're just kind of like feeling like that if it does grow, you're selling out.
You know, that's interesting. You know, their perception, I mean, a lot of people that are the naysayers and are against Muay Thai or anyone involved in the sport making money hasn't really been in Thailand long enough, right? Mm-hmm. It's all about the money, mm-hmm. right? It is a money-driven sport. Those little boys are sacrificing their bodies, right, to feed their families. Mm-hmm. And this is an opportunity to get out of poverty. It's a whole ecosystem out there, right? Mm-hmm. With the bettors and, you know, the gamblers, the bettors, right? The athletes, the coaches. So it is all about the money. And, you know, we had Yopayak Sitsong Pinong. And one of the things that we did on Friday night was talk about how we broke it down. We did it something different. Instead of memorizing a bunch of new moves and techniques and setups and feints, What we did is we want to get inside of the mind of a current or at least a recent Lumpini champion and see what he's thinking round by round. We already know we have the basics of what happens in round one and two and three. Everyone does, but really don't understand the mindset of what he's looking for and how he approaches it every round himself. And then how it's dictated, how that match and how every round is dictated by the bettors, by the gamblers, and how it increases the intensity and how certain incentives like, hey, here's an extra 10,000 baht to cut him with an elbow or get a knockout, really increases the intensity of the match as well. So again, it's all about the money. It really is. I hate to say that, and people might think that I'm blasphemous for stating that, but it is a fact. Go out there. You know, if you look at the Thais here, there's a lot of Thai legends and here living in the United States, and not one single one of those guys have their children involved and competing in Muay Thai, and that speaks volumes. Their thought is, and we hear it all the time, I'm sure you guys too, you know, and now it's pretty well accepted that Falun are coming out there to Thailand to train for fun, but there used to always be the question, they always used to be amazed that Falun were fighting for free, right? They're thinking, well, why would you do this if you're not getting paid? Yeah. So that is the bottom line, number one. And my whole contention is you can run a thriving business and produce excellent athletes. I've got 10 IFA medals in the last, our athletes have 10 IFA medals with 8 different athletes, youth, teen, and adult. And we have 5 gold medals, 3 silver, and 2 bronze, all within a 3-year period of time, 3 or 4-year period of time. And yet I still have $500,000 a year a business here in Stockton, California, which is probably one of the highest crime rates per capita in the United States, in the top 10, and one of the worst economies in California. So if I can do it, anyone can do it. I live a great lifestyle. I still put out great athletes, but more importantly, I'm changing the lives of young children who don't have the outlet of Muay Thai, and I'm doing it in a legit way. Here's the thing: not everyone's going to be a fighter or a competitor, but you can still teach them martial arts. And Vinny saw it today, or I'm sorry, on the first day on Friday. About half the kids that we had demo for us and work with us over the weekend were different than they were last year. And what can you say from a 4-year-old all the way up to a 24-year-old? What did it look like? How did they perform?
Every one of them had a very similar style. It looked like the same person in a different body, throwing the
technique. Did it look like real Muay Thai?
100%.
100%.
100%.
Right? Real authentic Muay Thai. Well, I had all these guys spar with them. What did everyone say?
They're consistent. They stay in the pocket. They counter effectively. They fight real Muay Thai.
And half of them aren't fighters. That's the amazing thing. Half of them aren't fighters. So my contention is, why should somebody do karate first or taekwondo first? Why can't they start Muay Thai first? Yeah, you might, might put a belt system, and you don't have to do a belt system. I really don't really continue that after a year. I just do it as an initial incentive because it's that consistency, and Americans need that initial drive and push to get through certain things, to stay with something first. But after that, I don't emphasize it at all. I mean, these guys were at my gym the last 3 days. You didn't see, a bunch of, 8-year-old black belts or anything like that. Nothing ridiculous at all. And what you did see, though, was a bunch of quality students and a bunch of happy children and a bunch of happy parents. So it is very possible to run a very successful and thriving business that helps your community and supports your family through Muay Thai. Mm-hmm.
So one of the things I guess I wanted to ask, now that you guys have done this Muay Thai Youth Academy and, you've done it multiple times and you've spoken multiple times about it, Patrick, but a question that comes to mind is, there's a lot of, I guess, one of the things that people see about Muay Thai is it's full contact, it's fighting, and I think one of the allures that karate and traditional martial arts had for a long time was that it wasn't, a lot of parents saw it as, it teaches discipline, it teaches them maybe skills on how to fight, which we know not always it really does, it doesn't really, but so how do you deal with parents that come in and when they see kids spar or they fight and they're worried about the contact? I know you've kind of harped on this before about how you guys teach with the no head contact and things like that, but I'm talking about it from a business perspective. How do you get a parent that's never heard about Muay Thai before never seen the sport, and then like if they go back to their house and they turn on YouTube and punch in Muay Thai, they're like, holy shit, my kid is going to be involved in this. You know, like, how do you get them to realize, you know, this is, and kind of, I would say, sell them on the program that their kid is not going to get hurt in what they're seeing. That, yes, it is a tough sport, but the way you're teaching it is going to, they're going to excel, but they're not going to get hurt doing it.
Sure, sure. That's an excellent question. And all these questions are something that that made me realize that another program has to develop, mm-hmm. which we're going to develop. It's going to be called Muay Thai Business Academy, or MBA. You know, mm-hmm. people go to college and they learn all these things, but they really can't apply it or use any of that after college, and they're $200,000 in debt. So what we're thinking about doing are doing a series of one-day events that's very not so cost prohibitive, so mm-hmm. that everyone can, you know, get in there and learn a lot of information in regards to running their business. And part of that is learning how to market and market toward parents that would be attracted to what you do. You know, what the people are looking for when you market is they're looking for, you know, you have to identify a problem. And if you can identify a problem, and provide a solution, not just identify it, right? Because a lot of people say, oh, I got a problem with this, I got a problem with this, I got a problem with this. They're not doing anything to solve them. Now, if you provide a solution, hey, your kid is on the video, playing video games all day, or your kid's getting bullied, or your kid is obese, or whatever, your kid is introverted, well, we can help. We can provide an opportunity where he has a social structure, he's doing something active, making new friends, and developing his confidence. And if you learn how to do that, if that person comes in, okay, if that parent comes into your door, one thing they're going to look at is, one, the first thing they're looking at is your website, right? If you look at my website, I don't talk anything about fighting on our website. It's mm-hmm. clearly Muay Thai. You can go there, StocktonMuayThai.com. It is clearly Muay Thai. But what I talk about, instead of how great I am, because I'm not that great, what I talk about more is how I could make your child great, okay? There's a saying, and I'm going to share this with you guys, and it's gold, okay? People don't care how much you know. They want to know how much you care, okay? People don't care how much you know. Rather, they care. They want to know how much you care. So, if one, you can say, "Hey, look, here's the problem. Here's a solution that we can provide. Come on in." And when they come in through our doors, Vinny, what happens when people walk through our doors here at Valor?
Crew, Patrick, and almost every one of the staff members immediately welcomes them. Not one person can walk in the door without being said hello to.
And how about when they leave?
And everyone says goodbye as they're walking out the door.
So that's number one. People are intimidated. Right. People are intimidated. So going back to my website, we have two or three domains that point to the back same website. And the one that when I do my certain marketing, I'll put StocktonMartialArts.com. Right. So again, it's martial arts. So if people think martial arts, they think karate. When they come in, right, they're greeted. It might look intimidating because they see the ring, they see the belts on the wall. What I do is I separate the people sparring in the back, and actually my fighters don't train till late at night so that it doesn't scare the parents during the day, right? Mm. So it's less intimidating for them. And what they feel is just a nice family environment that is nurturing to their child. Then they feel confident and safe in basically this oasis, I guess, here in Stockton that allows their children to grow up to be a successful and happy person. So, okay. You know, to go back, you know, what we do is when they come in, what we want to do is make them feel comfortable. And that's the proof for them. We don't have to explain anything. We just tell them the benefits that we're going to provide. Rarely do I get anyone saying, oh, that's too violent. I don't think I've ever had that, to be quite honest. I've never had that question or, you know, that objection. Oh, this is too violent for my child.
I've actually never gotten that either.
Yeah. Well, I think it's also because not many people walk in with kind of knowing a lot about Muay Thai, and then I don't know if, you know, I don't know how invested. Well, I mean, I'm pretty sure parents are obviously invested in their kids, but I don't know if they're going to go back and Google it and then be like, oh my God, and see, like, you know, everything that there is, because there is Muay Thai. But I mean, the thing about Muay Thai is it's, at least for us, you know, it's, you look at it, it's beautiful, it's destructive, but it's beautiful when the way they do it, the techniques and everything. But, you know, yeah, that's, it's just kind of one of those things that when people hear fighting or they associate it with fighting, I'm just saying it from my even growing up, when I was doing Muay Thai, I started it at 17, and even in my 20s, my dad was like, why are you fighting? Why are you doing this? But it was because I was fighting. But But still, even for him, it was like he would consider it violent, and trying to convince him that it was otherwise was difficult. So I just wonder, it's a question.
I think for him, it's more that he didn't want you to lose any more brain cells than you already have. So that's probably what his concern was.
Oh, okay.
He didn't want he didn't want you to get any dumber, basically.
Oh, man. Well, he failed miserably, didn't he? But yeah, man. So that's interesting. And I mean, Patrick, I mean, I know that you've done so much stuff for USMF and for growing the sport in Muay Thai, and you and Michael Chase Corley have done an amazing job of showing. It was kind of funny because when I first heard, when I heard Michael talk a lot about it's all about the youth, we got to focus on the youth. I think a lot of people here in America for a long time were stuck on sort of the stock of fighters that we had presently. At the ones that we had presently, and then we're just like, why is it's not going to grow, or they're not getting any better, or they just, we're kind of stagnant. And you guys kind of kept on always saying, it's about the youth, it's about the youth, but it was very lost. We were trying to figure out a way to, even Eric Haycraft has talked about it a lot. He's kind of talking about it in his podcast. It's that you go to these tournaments and the amateurs are huge, the amateur ranks are massive, and then as it goes in from level one to, let's say, C class to a B class to an A class, the numbers dwindle, exponentially. So it's kind of like you guys were focusing on the youth and trying to bring them up little by little, and maybe it was because people, let's say the teenagers and the adults, they start off as amateurs, but they don't really see, they don't stick with it because, they've got other things to do. They've got lives, they've got families, they've got careers that don't allow them to stick with it.
The other thing was that we spoke about was that for most people in C class, it's also just something on the bucket list.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
Something that, we mentioned that this weekend, that some people, they just want to say like, hey, I want to get in the ring once in my life.
Correct.
And that's what, part of C class. So yeah. That's why it's so big compared to B and A class.
Yeah. But I think with the investment in the youth, you can have, like I've seen already with your students, Patrick, and people like Becca and people like Tierra Brandt, Becca Irwin, who's now in Glory, at 18.
And Nicole Fernandez.
Fernandez, which is where we're talking about athletes that are already, we can say, quote unquote, world class, because they are fighting at a world class level, and they're 15, 16, 14, and they still have, let's say, years to decide whether they want to continue, but they're already getting, accolades of a world class fighter at that age, which is things we see coming out of Thailand and, the high level countries like the Russians, the Belarusians, Ukraine, et cetera,
Yeah, absolutely. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Yeah, I give Miley as an example. Miley, she started us when she was six. Her mom's kind of like my cousin, and she's our program director. Mm-hmm. And it's helped us tremendously. And she started, and she's 13 now, right? Mm-hmm. She has a bronze and two gold medals. And I lost count on how many matches she has. Like, literally, I don't know how many she has now. I think it's got to be anywhere between 40 or 50. Mm-hmm. And she's 13 years old. Right. And if you look, like the method that we raised her on, if you look when she fought Russia, she fought Ireland, and she fought I forgot who else she fought. But this was with head contact, because at IFMA at 13 years old, you do head contact. And if you look at her style, she totally diffused all of the punches and tied it up in the clinch effectively, and a mid-range clinch, not just a short-range clinch. She was moving in and out of the various ranges within the clinch because of all the experiences she's had since her young career at 6 years old, right? Yeah. She demonstrated a high level of maturity in terms of technique and fight IQ at only 13. And it's pretty amazing to see that. Now, here's the thing about, the C class. It's like Vinny said, we talked about it over the weekend. A lot of people are just simply bucket list. And there's nothing wrong with that. If people want to try themselves, that's cool, right? You think about, look at football, basketball, baseball, hockey, right? You want to still have this recreationally, right? Now you're going to have all these people participating in these sports. Now they understand or are involved in sports, and they're going to now watch this sport. What you have to do is get education to grow the sport first and get people participating. Mm-hmm. So once people have participated in it, they're going to be more inclined to watch it and watch more events and watch more bigger shows and support more pros. So you know, one of the things that I'd noticed with the national tournaments, everyone is sort of arguing with a limited amount or finite amount of athletes, right? Whether it be kids and adults, and like especially in the B and the A class. But what I understand is the reason that they're, you know, they're quibbling over just these finite amount of athletes is because nobody really knew how to run a business and really kind of farm from that. You know, if you got 200 kids, right? You have 200 kids in your martial arts program. Probably 30 or if 50 are sparring, probably 30 or 40 will want to compete. And out of that, maybe you get maybe five gems, right? And so that's what's really going to continue to help, you know, get more participation in the national tournaments and all the local shows and grow future champions from the United States in Muay Thai.
Very cool. Very cool. No, I mean, it makes total sense. And I see it like it's awesome to see it finally. Like I always say to Michael and to you that, you know, seeing the success of the youth, you know, these youth fighters lately has really kind of, you know, not only has it, you know, really shown, you know, that the fruits of your labor, you know, the fruits of your labor, but it has also basically kind of, you know, like you guys always say, the proof is in the pudding. It's showing that, you know, what you guys are doing is really having an effect. You know, we've talked with, you know, there's a variety of people that have different opinions about where Muay Thai is going. You know, I think Vinny and I always try to stay as positive as possible, you know, and say, you know, the sport is growing. The sport is growing. It's doing well, you know, because there's so many different things, you know, like as a Muay Thai fan over the years, you know, and I'm pretty sure you've gone through this, you know, you see events that come and go, you know, you see your pro events that come and go, you see fighters that come and go, fighters that you thought really had a chance. And then sort of after a while they fall off, and then you're wondering, you know, are we really getting somewhere? And then, you know, and then you have people that is sort of a, you know, we're also a society, unfortunately, here in the United States of, you know, instant gratification, you know, so they see things like, you know, when they see the adults not do as well, you know, and they don't realize, but they have no idea how tough it is, you know, to do something in Worlds. Like they do, you know, they just did amazing in the Pan Americans, you know, but they go to Worlds and they get eliminated, you know, or they don't get the gold medal. And it's almost like, okay, you didn't get the gold. It's almost like that whole Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights attitude. If you're not first, you're last kind of thing. You know, we kind of have that mindset here in America, and they don't, it's, yeah, just, but, because they don't realize
here's another side to that. So yeah, people see that maybe, you know, this past year in Cancun that the USA team didn't do well, mm-hmm, but where's the team USA right now? Where are they right now? Majority or half of them, so you have one Janet Todd heading to one championship, right? Or one FC, sorry. Yeah. Then you have another, what probably like 10 to 15, no, maybe even 20% of Team USA is all destroying glory.
Yeah.
All winning in glory. So how can they have anything negative to say about the people on Team USA that they didn't do well in, so that, so let me rephrase that. That alone should explain to people the level of competition. Mm-hmm. Because if everyone on Team USA is wrecking house in glory, and, you know, Glory is supposed to be the top kickboxers in the world or whatever. Mm-hmm. But then we go to IFMA and maybe don't medal or maybe get silver or bronze. That should show the level of competition that's there compared to what they're watching on TV every, you know, on Glory.
Yeah.
So it's just that people have a closed mind sometimes. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah. Well, like I said, it's almost like an instant gratification. They don't realize, you know, and especially like they see something like a world tournament and they don't realize the level. And then they see something like Glory. And it's kind of like, you know, kind of like sometimes, and I feel like it's sort of the MMA mentality sometimes, which, you know, we do talk shit about MMA, but it's not. But I feel like what happens is, you know, you have a lot of casual people that it's almost like here in the mentality in the United States is, you know, you have guys that are 40-0, 50-0, and they lose one, and it's like, oh, that guy sucks. You know, they lost one, and you get that sort of attitude where, like, oh yeah, see, I told you, you know, that guy wasn't any good. And you're like, wait a minute, but he lost one fight, you know, out of 50, you know. But then you see the mentality in all these other countries, which is amazing, you know, and you've spoken about it, Patrick, is like these guys have 300, 400 fights. And, you know, losing is, and especially with the ties, where like losing is sort of like a rite of passage. You know, it's something you need to experience. You know, obviously you don't want to have a losing record of, you know that it's lopsided, but I'm saying, you know, they've gone through it before, but they just keep on stepping back in the ring. And most of them, sure, they might have, it's crazy, they'll have like 50 losses, but they'll have like 500 wins. But here it's, I think we put too much emphasis on that lose and that win and lose column, as opposed to the who you're facing, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, it's interesting because it occurred to me. So I'm basically, a 25-year white belt in jiu-jitsu, right? So I've been, you know, training off and on here and there over the last 20, 25 years. And
yeah,
one of the things that what I've seen, why it's exploded in growth, okay, exponentially within the last 10 years, not only because there's more black belts out there, more qualified black belts, but the fact that people are losing and every day. You know, when they're rolling every single day, people are getting submitted every single day and then trying again.
Yeah.
You see? Muay Thai is the opposite. When somebody loses, they feel deflated, right? And that's what we're trying to hope we do with the YDL, to give them opportunities to really just get out there, wet their feet, then win, lose, or whatever, but just keep competing and keep going.
Yeah.
And the one thing that we talked about over the weekend is consistency, especially this time of year in January, right? All the gyms are full of people. They're lifting weights and they're in there every day. And then, you know, in February, half the people are there, right? Yeah. And by the time summer comes around, only about 10% are in there. And they're not getting any results come summer because they lack that consistency. What I tell people to do is coming in two times a week as opposed to coming in every single day. So the consistency is really, truly the key to getting results for anything. And what was my tangent? Oh, man, I'm going up on a tangent here. we're talking about, you better cut this out.
about losing.
But losing. Yeah, so it's been a long weekend. Forgive me.
You were out till 4 a.m. last night. Yeah, I know. I heard the stories. Yeah.
And at 4 a.m. before that as well. but you know, again, one thing about jiu-jitsu, what's really nice is that people have the chance to improve every single day. Mm-hmm. And we really don't have those systems built up for Muay Thai yet, right?
Yeah, that's right.
We're so invested in win or lose that we define ourselves based on if we win or if we lose, not if we necessarily improve, right? And that's the difference between Muay Thai and jiu-jitsu.
Definitely.
So need to change that.
Yeah, no, and so, I think you brought up a good point there because it's really it's kind of like in jiu-jitsu, and, you know, I've rolled before and I've competed in jiu-jitsu as well, just, you know, a handful of times. But it's almost like when you're rolling in jiu-jitsu, like you get tapped out and you just, you know, shake hands and then you roll again right away. In sparring and in Muay Thai, you don't really have that sort of like – I guess you don't have that like finite end, you know, kind of like as you do in jiu-jitsu, where it's like if you're doing a match in jiu-jitsu and you're rolling, there's like there's a quick end to it. You know you lost that you know, that session or that little bout right there, and then you just jump right back into it. And in sparring and in Muay Thai, you know, the ending is in a fight, in a real fight, is, you know, you're either going to get knocked out or decision. And in sparring, you're not going to have that. You know, you're not going to have people knocking each other out. And then you're not going to have those decisions. So it's kind of like I think when they lose, that's why they feel deflated, because there's no way to sort of jump into that, which is cool with why you're saying, you know, what you're doing with the YDL is, you know, they get a decision, they get that certificate, they get that sort of pass fail sort of feeling. Here's what you did right, here's what you did wrong. And, you know, you just jump into it again and fight again and again and again and again. And all the time, it's almost like you're taking away that sting of feeling defeated all the time, and it's just about improving. And I think that's the problem, I think. And I, you know, it's awesome to sort of hit that realization, what you were saying, the comparison with jiu-jitsu is, because a lot of times, especially for states like, say, where I am, which is Florida, the only option you really ever have to fight is maybe the one-off fight night every couple of, like, every 6 months or so, and then a tournament, you know, like IKF, the IKF World Classic. So if you've been working for 6 months on that, and then all of a sudden you lose, I mean, I think it's totally normal to feel completely deflated and want to just not continue anymore. Whereas if you had all these sort of ways, I think that's what happens with boxing too. You know, if you were able to compete as an amateur for so long and do these golden gloves, and there's, you know, fight nights and things and gyms and locals, you know, smokers, and you can constantly sort of lose but jump back in and get back into it, you have that opportunity. And I think that is definitely what's missing in Muay Thai, is to sort of remove that sting.
Well, that's the whole purpose of the YDL.
Yeah.
And also with the YDL, Patrick's also putting together the ADL, which is the adult version of the YDL. So that should definitely help with those type of issues.
Awesome.
With and without head contact. So some people, surprisingly enough, will actually opt for no head contact for adults. When we were in Hawaii, we did the first one in Hawaii, and we thought no one in Hawaii would want to do it. We had at least 10 matches, I think, or maybe 8 matches with no head contact for adults. The next one, half of those people, for their next ADL and YDL in Honolulu, February 23rd, now want to do it with head contact.
Yeah.
Right. So it allowed them a stepping stone for that. So essentially what we're trying to do with the YDL and the ADL system, as we get USOC approval with our application for the United States Olympic Committee, is to essentially make the YDL and the ADL sort of like a smoker system, like an organized, structured, legal, legal smoker system for the United States Muay Thai Federation and, you know, USA Muay Thai.
Yeah. You know, it kind of reminded me of a meme that I saw right now, like recently, which said, like, everyone should be punched in the face at least once, because you realize that you aren't made of glass and that it doesn't hurt as much as you feared it would. So it's kind of like extremely freeing. So it goes back to what you were just saying, Patrick, about the ADL. A lot of people probably opt to no head contact because they fear it, or they fear the contact. But as you sort of ease them into it, they're like that you said, that now then they opted into, hey, you know what? It wasn't so bad the first time I sparred. Let me, now I can kind of step it up and do it with the head contact. So, you know, I really think that definitely does work that way. You know, I try not to get punched in the face because it's really my moneymaker. You know what I mean? But,
That's funny. What I wanted to get, because I got to probably start heading out to get to the airport soon.
Yeah, yeah.
So, what I want to get into a little bit more before we go is you have more that you want to talk about with the Muay Thai Business Academy.
Yeah, you know, I'm not sure when we're going to launch it, but so many people hit me up on a daily basis asking business advice. And I've helped a lot of gyms. You know, I helped a lot of gyms out there grow and flourish. You know, look at Pete Martinez and Audacious Muay Thai in Vacaville, California. Within 3 years, he's got 250 students, and now it's his full-time career. He left a six-figure job as a systems analyst and now makes six figures having a Muay Thai academy in the Bay Area. I've helped Eddie Cuello came to me for some advice, and shortly after his program increased. He opened up a second location, and now is talking about opening up even a third. Rich De Los Reyes in Honolulu was charging $60 a month in Hawaii after he left his job from the UFC gym, BJ Penn's the UFC gym in off of Ward Avenue in Honolulu. He opened up his own gym, only charging $60 a month. I gave him some business tips, advice, and also where to relocate based on certain demographics. He's got over, I think, 500 or 600 students now. Opened up a second location on the west side of Oahu. So now he has two locations, and that's already flourishing as well. So, you know, all these results are replicable. And what I realize is if we do not teach people how to run a business, to learn how to market, to learn the numbers and their data and their statistics, then the sport truly won't grow. It will grow incrementally, but at a very slow pace. And if once people understand, I mean, I basically I'm comparing this to what Lloyd Irvin did years back. I think it was about 10 years ago. I attended a number of his events where he had, I forgot what it was called, the MMA Blueprint or something like that in Washington, D.C. And back then, not many people knew how to run a successful BJJ academy. He had probably about 400 or 500 BJJ, high-level BJJ practitioners like Rafael Lovato. I think the Machados were there. A bunch of big names were there. And then took all that information about business and then took it back to their academies. This was the very first time that anybody did that with BJJ, because all these martial arts industry associations and business consultants only focus on karate and kung fu. And, you know, I spent literally tens of thousands of dollars learning this over the last decade and experimenting specifically for Muay Thai. And what I realize is I'm pretty much one of the only people that have been doing it. Now, yes, other people are doing it successfully or whatever, but really what I feel that we need is something like Lloyd Irvin did, and that's where we came up with the idea with Muay Thai Business Academy, you know, MBA. And it's simply a one-day event, maybe 6 to 8 hours, really getting intense in regards to learning various systems to help improve your business, or even people that are thinking about opening up a Muay Thai academy or Muay Thai gym, you know, what might be involved. Because a lot of people, you know, they get into it and they realize, oh shit, and they get out of business within a year. Okay, it's very common. They said 90% of businesses fail. So what we're trying to do with MBA is really grow the sport by teaching people how to run business systems. You know, my role right now is with the USMF, my official title is Chief Development Officer. So I'm responsible for the initiatives by the USMF to grow the sport here in the United States. And this is one of my big projects right now is MBA.
Nice. All right, man. So I know, Vinny, I know you got to go soon and head out because you're going to the airport. So we're just going to, you know, finish up here, man. So really what I wanted to do is just do our social media and give you a send off, Patrick. So, Patrick, since you are a guest today, give us some any social media that where they can follow you and get more information about the NBA, everything like that.
You know, right now, just follow our Facebook page. It's USA Muay Thai Youth Development League. I haven't set up the NBA page yet, but just follow maybe,
your personal page.
My personal page. Yeah, you can go on my Instagram page. Is Coach_Crew Patrick Valor. It's kind of a common joke. It's called Coach Crew. But yeah. Coach Crew Patrick Valor. Or my Facebook page, Patrick Valor Rivera. And you'll see some posts. We also have a private group called the Muay Thai Youth Academy group. It's private. We've got probably about 400 people on there, and I've been given free tips and content to help people run their businesses on there already. So take a look at that, Muay Thai Youth Academy private group.
Okay. And give us a little information on your gym out there in Stockton.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, so we have two academies here in Stockton, California. We've got 5,000 square feet here in North Stockton. We have another one, what we call the Midtown Branch, which is closer to downtown Stockton. It's about 2,500 square feet, a little bit smaller, but it's a great place, friendly people, fantastic time, great martial arts, and we welcome everybody to come out so long as they have a great attitude.
Nice. All right, guys. So that was our good friend Patrick Valor. Patrick Rivera. We call him Patrick Valor because that's his Instagram. So you guys can always contact us at strikingcorner.com. That's our new website. Obviously has all the episodes, this episode included, as well as the other times that we featured Patrick on the show. My Instagram is Eric_Rivera_TSC. The Instagram for the Striking Corner is @strikingcorner. Vinny, how could they get in touch with you?
You can get in touch with me on Instagram, which is @VinnyScotto. And remember, don't be an asshole. Follow me because I want 10,000 followers by the end of this year.
Nice. All right, guys. So thank you once again to everybody for listening and supporting the Striking Corner. And also make sure you guys, follow our good friend Patrick Rivera and everything he's doing with the Muay Thai Youth Academy, the Youth Development League. the things he's doing with the United States Muay Thai Federation, everything that's going on, guys. Stay tuned for the Muay Thai Business Academy, correct? MBA?
Yes, sir.
All that stuff, a lot of knowledge that he's going to be dropping on just, you know, running a Muay Thai business, running, you know, how to, you know, improve your Muay Thai youth programs. Just so much great stuff. We love having him on. Thank you very much, Patrick, for being on the show today. And Vinny, have a safe flight back, man.
Thanks, Eric, bud.
Thank you very much, Ben. Always great to see you. And thanks for having me on.
All right, man.
Thanks, Vinny, also.
You've been listening to The Striking Corner with Eric Rivera and Vinny Scotto.